He has finished parking your car, Marty.
No, I was joking.
He's here, Nick Rebold.
That's what he suggested.
I would not suggest that in front of you. That was never to be mentioned in front of you.
It actually was on air.
I was never.
As your park.
Ever. You should be okay. You shouldn't get a ticket, I hope, where I left it.
Thank you, mate. You didn't have to leave it in Broadmeadows.
No, that's all right. Just had to pick something up.
Last week we spoke to you, and I think we were forward selling Retro Round for this week.
Yeah, we were. And now it's Retro Round.
It's Retro Round.
So now we're in it.
So there was a lovely photo of you and Jonathan Brown.
Yeah.
As from Wayne's World.
Yeah.
What were their characters' names?
Wayne and Garth.
Wayne and Garth.
Yeah.
And you were Garth.
I was Garth. Yeah.
And it was hilarious.
Excellent. yeah, so it was good.
So here we are, Retro Round.
Here we are. It's great. So we've been able to relive a lot of the 90s this week, which for me is the decade where I fell in love with footy. You know, I was a young boy into my teenage years, which were
already playing schoolboy footy in the system.
I was in Queensland, schoolboy footy. So I played rugby at school.
I thought you grew up in Tassie.
I lived there till I was 10,
right,
and then went to the Gold Coast for high school.
I did not know that.
Yeah.
And so what, Miami High kind of thing?
No.
Sorry.
All Saints Anglican College.
My apologies. Yes.
who
would have ever gone to Miami High?
Say that with a silver spoon in my mouth.
And so you played a bit of actual rugby. What position were you playing in rugby?
I played in the centres or fullback. So rugby union. Mm. Good sport.
Do you reckon that helped you with your tackling and stuff further down the track?
No, absolutely not. No.
Nothing in common?
No, because I was not really that well known for my tackling. In fact, Ross Lyon, he walked in at a half time of one game. It was 2009 and we were flying. So I think we were around 14 or 15, we were still undefeated.
Mm.
And we were playing a lower side, I think it was Brisbane at the time, who were a bit further down on the ladder. And we were just winning, but we should have been winning by a lot more. So there was maybe a little bit of complacency. And he walked in, he looked around the room and started just eyeballing guys. And he's got that funny walk, Rossi.
Mm.
And he looks at, Lee Montagna, he's got the stats in his hand and he's ruffling the paper. Lee Montagna, 2 tackles. Kaczynski, 1 tackle. Lenny Hayes, 7 tackles. You're enormous, Lenny. Nick Riewoldt, the captain, 1 tackle. For the year.
For the year,
which was probably not that
forward
inaccurate.
Pressure was not your guy.
So tackling rugby union. No, I didn't learn anything.
Did you enjoy playing rugby union?
I liked it. No. I liked it. Probably the last straw was we played on Friday afternoons and I got corked on a Friday afternoon playing rugby union. And I was playing for the Brisbane Lions reserves team as like a top-up player, a young player. They did that with some of the young sort of emerging kids in Queensland. And I knew I had this big cork, but I didn't want to tell anyone that I'd been playing rugby the day before. So I got through the warm-up and in the first 5 minutes sort of was involved in a contest and then just limped to
I've
the side. Oh, I've just copped the corky in that contest. So that was the end of rugby for me.
Fair enough. I'm glad I know that. I never knew any of that.
Okay.
Retro Round, it's just a jumper thing. I don't mean to be dismissive.
No, it's just a themed round. It's a themed round where we get to look back at, speaking to a lot of the guys that played throughout the 90s, and everyone likes to, I guess, glorify their own era, but I do genuinely think that this was when footy was at its absolute best. I mean,
was North.
Yeah, they were. Absolutely they were, and they had the best player of all time. And full forwards were kicking 100 goals.
Mm.
It's something that I think the last time it happened was, 2007, Buddy? I played with Fraser Gehrig when he did it in 2004. And for that to be, something like that to be happening every year with multiple players.
Mm.
I mean, how
magic,
good.
Wasn't it?
I was a kid and it was just normal. But just the way the game's played and to have seen some of the old highlights on the screen this week during Retro Round has been a bit of a throwback. So I'm not sure. I feel like everything the AFL, every lever that they pull trying to change the game, it's trying to get back to that.
Yeah.
Trying to get back to what footy looked like in the 90s. But I don't think we'll ever get there again.
What was the path from Brisbane to St Kilda? What did that look like?
Yeah, well, I was a bit of a late bloomer physically, so that my teenage years were a little bit difficult. I'm sure some of you guys can relate to that. But played just local footy, and then I had a bit of a growth spurt around 16, got on the radar all of a sudden, and then got drafted. So it all happened really quickly for me in the space of sort of 12 to 18 months, and
And is packed you, up, but then the family relocate or just
no,
you on
didn't.
Your own?
No, my brother and sister were still in school, so I came down.
On your pat alone?
Yeah, yeah. Lived with a lady down Bayside with Justin Kozicki. We got billeted out with her for a couple of years. That was an eye-opener for her, I'm sure.
And do you still see her? Do you ever send her a Christmas card?
Yeah, we still keep in touch. It's nice.
Well
yeah,
done.
Come full circle.
Nick, I think one thing, and I'm assuming one thing that ex-footballers have in common is talking about their old club, particularly if you've been a one-club guy.
Yeah.
You just want your club to do well. You don't want to be the guy saying there's issues around the joint.
Oh, yeah. I'm not sure if we've all got that in common. There are some that really like to sink the boots into their old club as well, depending on how it finished.
I don't like of course. The exit meeting
didn't go to
plan. But
the reality is we all get the arse at some point.
Exactly, mate.
You know, so that's okay. But, yeah, look, I want the Saints to do well. As much now because I live it through the eyes of my kids. And so I think it was the Sydney game maybe 5 or 6 weeks ago and I was in at work and the Saints were right in it and then lost late against Sydney. And so Kath had been filming James after the siren.
And he was a bit heartbroken.
I don't think I've ever seen him so heartbroken. Mm. It was like uncontrollable weeping.
It's amazing, isn't it, that kids can get so locked into it?
I'm sure James will be wrapped now. There's probably kids on the way to school that are going to get out of the car right about now and say, oh, we heard about you.
Your dad said you were crying.
Yeah. So I've been pretty bullish on the Saints the last five or six weeks.
And spot on with them.
And they've been better. I mean, first half of the season, they were the most disappointing side in it because of the high expectation. And they've been able to turn around, but beware the wounded opposition. Because tonight they come up against the Blues, who have copped it this week from everywhere.
It seems as though David Teague is just week to week, his job is under review.
Which is funny because this time last week they'd won 3 out of 4. Yeah, coming off the back of a loss, but they'd won 3 out of 4, and you felt like they'd gotten to a point where he looked pretty safe, and the review was near the end. You know, they'd almost completed it. So yeah, it was a big shift after the weekend. They were terrible, but you just wonder now how much these next few weeks will contribute to careers either continuing or ending, and so it's never nice having a review hanging over your head. So a lot of interest in tonight's game. Good to see Charlie Curnow back out there. He hasn't had a run at the poor guy, but a super
700 and something days, wasn't it?
61, I think.
Yeah. Since his last game.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, it's a long time,
It's a long time, yeah. Considering, you know, your career goes by in a flash. We've had over 2 years where you're not even able to get out there. So a lot of interest in tonight's game. The other one for me is Essendon and Sydney. So Essendon are still right on the bubble with respects to playing finals. They might get there, they might not. A lot hinges on tonight. And the fact that one guy that's tormented them over the last decade is Lance Franklin. And he got rubbed out and they thought, oh, here we go. We're a proper chance.
He's elbowed a bloke in the head. Yeah. There's no way he's going to be playing next week.
I made the mistake during the week of actually on the AFL's Instagram page when it got overturned. And I just wrote a comment, and this is just I wrote was always going to happen. The precedent had already been set, e.g. Shuey and Asprey, and well, it just I just had to duck for cover the next couple of days.
Turn your phone off.
Yeah, like there's nothing that controversial about what I said, but
people
extrapolated that out to meaning that he should have gotten off, and you're allowed. And I think it's, you know, you should be allowed to elbow guys in the head. It was, I think I had about 70 comments that I had to sort of scroll through and placate. And it was just a really good reminder not to engage on social media because they did come from everywhere. But
timely. Well, what about the.
He had to get off, though.
Yeah, of course.
He had to because they had their chance in round one, the AFL, to say that you're not allowed to elbow in the head. They got that wrong. Asprey got off. So then they're obliged to be wrong for the rest of the year for consistency.
I was surprised it had even gone to the match review.
Yeah.
It just looked like an accidental elbow to me.
Yeah, you're generous.
Well, then Will said, what about when he swapped arms with the football?
Yeah, it's a good call,
Will.
Well,
you know, people swap arms with footballs all the time.
You should be a prosecution lawyer, Will. It's a good argument.
I would have taken it.
Will works for Reuters. You might have heard of it. they're a wire service that puts the news out. Any interest in Fremantle Richmond?
Yeah.
Because I know that Loz has just picked Fremantle to win that game.
Did you? Yeah. Well, that's not a bad take. Again, these are the two other sides that are just still sniffing around. I mean, it's almost become a little bit laughable that There are six or seven sides still in the hunt for seventh and eighth spot. No one seems to want to take it because they just keep queuing up losses. So,
and the percentage around that part of the ladder is pretty ordinary too.
Yeah, it is. So you don't have to do a lot really to sneak in. Richmond, there are parts of their profile that still look really good, and then there are other parts that look catastrophic. I mean, for them, if they can just they can hang in there until they get the troops back because they've got a pretty heavy injury list, then I just still give them a sneaky chance.
What about there's absolutely no way in the world that Melbourne could be beaten by the Gold Coast and get a wobble on here, is there?
No. Their games, the one thing
too
that's
solid
costing,
now?
The one thing that's costing them at the moment, Melbourne, is just accuracy in front of goal. Everything else is stacking up really well for them. So I still have them with the Bulldogs and Geelong as my three that are most likely to win it.
Beautifully said, mate. Have a lovely weekend.
Likewise.